I've heard like so many stories now from personal friends of mine.
She was robbed.
His family members raped her.
She had to run for her life.
To take her back to his house.
Harassed on the train.
Who was assaulted.
Every time she goes on the train.
Gang raped.
School girls as well.
He was trying to lure me into his taxi.
She was so scared.
Them and shout things at them.
I wouldn't walk down the street at night anymore.
And they all involve being harassed by foreign nationals.
The culture has just drastically changed because we've imported people from cultures where, unless you're like completely covered up, they see you as, you know, an object. Women are the ones who are the most negatively impacted by this.
These are cultures that just deeply don't respect women whatsoever. They think going to another tribe and raping their women is conquest over them. Them going to the West and sexually assaulting our women is their form of conquest.
If you just have this mindset of, oh, it's just individuals, you wouldn't clock that trend. But when you do notice that it does seem to be majority foreign-born people, then you have to wonder, like, why? Why is it majority foreign-born people?
Women are afraid to speak out and notice these patterns because they'll be called a racist.
If anyone should be cancelled, it should be these politicians who are denying the existence and turning a blind eye when it comes to the grooming gangs.
They subscribe to this idea that everybody's equal, that it has to be all men, it couldn't possibly be different cultures.
It's the biggest issue facing Britain today and facing women.
But because it goes against how they view the world, hey, not everybody's equal, what would their ideology be?
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, as many of you know, I have big hopes for Generation Z. I take the view that if you're brought up in insanity, if you're brought up in clown world, then you're going to see just how insane it is and you're going to rebel against it and want to do something about it. And I have with me two young ladies who seem to be doing something really rather important about it. And those are Miss Jess Gill and Miss Elizabeth Heverin. And they have set up a very, very interesting, and I think rather important organisation called the Women's Safety Initiative. And it makes, and I think this is so crucial, it makes immigration, as it were, a feminist issue, and I like that. So I'm going to ask Jess first. So Jess, tell me, what motivated you to set this up? When did you set it up? What motivated you to set it up?
Well, thank you so much for having us on the show, Ed. So several things really brought this to a head. Specifically, I was actually out with my good friend, my best friend, Elizabeth Heverin. We were out on a picnic, and unfortunately, just time and time again, foreign men just kept on approaching us, and it started out, I was late, woman moments, I was late to the thing.
But can I, sorry to interrupt, you do quite strange things together, don't you, like sword fights in the woods.
What do you mean?
Well, I saw a video that Liz put up of
the
you
and... stick fight.
A stick fight, sorry,
I had to sacrifice Jess to the fairies, they told me so.
Is that kind of picnic?
Yeah, of course, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, this was just a casual picnic, not a very whimsical picnic. So we went there and I was a bit late, and then Liz came up to me and she was like, I've just been approached by this man. What did he do exactly?
I was just like sat underneath a tree, and it was like really weird because he came up to me and was like, why are you sat under the tree? Isn't it cold under the tree? And it was like a warm day. And then he went into the bushes. And I was thinking, what on earth is this man doing? And then five minutes later, he came out of the bushes.
It was very, very weird behaviour. And then there was lots of empty space next to us, and another man came up to us, and he just sat next to us, right next to us, on our next to our picnic blanket, didn't speak to us for like 10, 15 minutes, and then eventually tried to start making small talk.
Sorry, these two men were from where?
In appearance, they looked like they were like Southern Italians, but they probably were maybe like Albanians, maybe.
I don't
know.
Similar
physiognomy.
I'd say brown.
Okay, yeah. They're brown people. Yeah. Okay, I was wrong, but we'll stick with that. Yes.
And then we finally left, and we were walking to the shop, and these delivery drivers, they came, they were just staring at us.
Indians.
Saying weird things about us. I couldn't exactly tell what they were saying, but it was clear that it was something dodgy. And then I finally like say goodbye to Liz, and on my way back, and I'm just walking across the street, down the path, and I heard a car beeping, like consistently beeping, which was weird because like there was nothing going on the road. So I look, and it's this black guy who's smiling at me, waving at me, beeping at me. And I just felt so uncomfortable when that happened. And then I phoned my friend and I was like, look, this has happened today. and they said that they were out on a walk and they saw these group of Albanian men like stare and harass some schoolgirls. And I just thought, this is so prevalent. Like, we've just been on a walk for, like, we've just been on a picnic for, like, four, maybe a few hours, and this has happened, like, four times. Everyone I speak to, every woman I've spoken to has had similar experiences like this, and I just thought something needs to be done about it. And it's not just this is more like low-scale things. Like, I live in Tottenham. Every single time I go out, something happens. Someone says something weird, I get weird comments, people always stare at me. Well, you know, certain people stare at me every single time, even if I'm just like, I haven't brushed my hair in days, you know, I'm not like dressing to impress at all. I'm just like in like loungewear, just going to the shop. Someone will make a weird, inappropriate comment.
And these
at
are
me.
These are always identifiable, visible ethnic minorities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've had like similar experiences. And being in Cheshire, I'm from Runcorn in Cheshire. Our biggest demographic is Scousers, so it's a very English town. But because we have like an illegal migrant hotel in Dawsbury, which is next to the town, it started to become more unsafe. One time I was coming back from Manchester on the train and we stopped at Warrington and it was an empty carriage and this illegal migrant got on. He looked like he was from Afghanistan, maybe. He looked Arab. And he sat next to me on the train and tried to make small talk with me. And there was this old couple behind me and they said, that illegal migrant's just sat next to that young girl. That's really strange. And they got the train instructor to kick him off. She said, do you have a ticket? And he said, no. And she said, it said, you have to leave the next stop. And then she asked if I was okay. And then because the next stop was my hometown, I had to go to the next stop, which was Fodgham, and walk back to my home. And I felt safe because it wasn't, Fodgham was a very extremely English town.
Good. My collateral ancestor was the Vicar of Fodgham.
Yeah. And then there was another case as well where I was walking back from Fodgham to my home. And there's like one road and next to the road it's like fields and it's perfectly safe to walk down. And this taxi stops next to me. And I thought, oh, maybe it's like a local taxi driver I know, because I know a couple of the local taxi drivers in my town. But it was a fat, what looked to be a fat Pakistani man. And he told me, he said, get in, I'll drop you off at your home. And I said, no, thank you, I'm fine with walking. And he said, suit yourself, and then drove off. And I remember thinking that is so strange, because I knew the local taxi service in my town. I know the vast majority of them are Scousers, so that just seemed so extremely out of place. And knowing what I know now about the grooming gangs, it seemed like he was trying to lure me into his taxi. There's other friends I've spoken to who are from Manchester, and one who's like from Will, who've had experiences of going into kebab shops, being offered gifts, or just walking home from school or work and having taxis follow them and shout things at them, or cars. One of my friends, was walking back and she had this car follow her, and this old couple offered to give her a lift because they knew exactly what was going on. I know friends of mine who live in Manchester whose friends from school have been gang raped. It's so prevalent amongst the women I meet of being harassed. Or
when you say gang raped, do you mean in the sense of the grooming gangs, that they get groomed and they get lured and they're young and naive and they end up having sex with men? Or do you mean literally that they're accosted in a park and taken someone gang raped?
I didn't ask the details about this case because my friend just mentioned it to me that my friend from school was gang raped by a Pakistani grooming gang. I don't know the details of the case, but I've heard like so many stories now from personal friends of mine, and they all involve being harassed by foreign nationals or our immigrants in this country.
And is this something, I mean, this is obviously a turning point incident where you thought, right, okay, something must be done. But you've been in Tottenham and so forth, and even when you were in the north of England or in Reading, did you notice it as well there, that there was lots of increasingly incidents of this kind?
Yeah, so the part of Bolton where I came from, it was majority white British. It was the one of the few nice parts of Bolton, if, you know, they actually exist. But I did recognise, because as a young person, obviously you go on public transport more because you can't drive. And I did realise every time I would go on the bus, if something was to happen, like someone would stare at me, someone would make a comment at me, again, they would be foreign born. And it was something that, you know, would just be a normal thing that you would just notice. And I think if you just have this mindset of, oh, it's just individuals, you know, recognise it as individual patterns, you know, you wouldn't clock that trend. But when you do notice that it does seem to be majority foreign born people, then you have to wonder, like, why? You know, why are they in this country? Why is it majority foreign-born people? Because there is this stereotype.
Are they foreign-born, or are they just of a certain ethnic group that could be born in this country?
I think majority seem to be foreign-born, just because, from what it seems like, the mass immigration we've seen is mostly from, like, the past, like, the Boris wave, for example, and over the past, like, 10, 20 years, so actually quite a few of them, like most of them don't seem to be born in this country. But yeah, you do have these instances like Axel Ruda Cabana, for example, where it's someone born in this country and they've just not adopted our values, not integrated at all, adopted foreign radical ideologies, and then have gone on to commit atrocities and stab and murder dozens of young girls. Same with the grooming gangs.
Did you have it already in Aberdeen?
Yeah, I remember... because there was a
I should say that both Liz and I went to the same university in Aberdeen.
Yeah. Okay, Aberdeen seems to produce a lot of white wingers. But there's a big African population now in Aberdeen, and over the past couple of years it's only increased. Like I remember seeing the high street transform into sort of an ethnic enclave whilst I was there, and it's only gotten worse and worse. And I remember having like African men approach me in Aberdeen and so on, which I found really strange. So it's also becoming a problem there.
Okay, and so already, so it's been going on for a long time. Basically, you've been noticing it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Sort of 5 years, 6 years.
Mm.
But it's just. Suddenly, like a boarding frost. It's so much that it's.
I think with me, when I first started recognizing this was an issue. Again, I'm from Bolton, which isn't specifically known for the grooming gangs, but the areas around, and it's obviously a similar culture, and we do have these issues. But I remember watching the the series Three Girls, which was about the grooming gang situation, and I remember watching this when I was around like 13. And then I started to become aware of the issue of Pakistani grooming gangs and realising how prevalent it is. And then still, to this day, nothing has happened. You know, nothing has come of it. We can't even have a national inquiry. And that's the extreme end of it. It's never mind the daily harassment women face. And since we've started this organisation, the amount of women, whether it be older women concerned about their granddaughters or younger women the same age as us, like, I'm really impressed and inspired by how many normal women who, you know, go about their daily lives experiencing this stuff, and they have the courage to speak out against it, who have the courage to join this organisation despite, you know, out of fear of being cancelled. They don't care anymore. They just want it to end.
That's interesting. So two things there. One, the cancellation, but the first one, have you had lots of women getting in touch with you?
We've had 200 women sign up so far, and it's been like 2 weeks.
And have they given you stories as to what's happened to them? What kind of things have they experienced?
Yeah, so far, on the document to sign up, we asked, like, why do you want to be a part of this organisation? And the amount of women who have come from personal experiences, who have said, you know, I'm fed up of being harassed on the train, for example. One girl who I spoke to the other day, she said that every time she goes on the train, foreign-born men seem to be approaching her, seem to be saying...
In Lincoln as well, all places. You would think Lincoln would be pretty safe.
Yeah.
But that's her experience.
And she's also saying that she has to, like, fend them off schoolgirls as well when they're on the train. And again, she's just, you know, so fed up of this issue being a thing that she, you know, doesn't care about being cancelled anymore. She wants to speak out about it because, you know, I think And she would probably agree that it's the biggest issue facing Britain today and facing women. And any woman who claims to care about women's issues mm-hmm. should be speaking out against this.
And some women are afraid to speak out and notice these patterns because they'll be called a racist. But I'm sorry, you know, protecting women, making sure women are feel safe walking outside and don't feel like they're going to be raped and sexually assaulted is far more important than being perceived as a racist.
Have you either of you ever felt actually genuinely threatened, or is it just irritating?
I wouldn't walk down the street at night anymore. Well, not at night, but after sundown, where I live in Tottenham, for example. There have been instances, not for me personally, but my friend, and who's also helping with the organisation, my friend Anna McGovern.
I met Anna, yes.
Yeah. A few years back, she was grabbed and, she was grabbed, and I think like he was like being very inappropriate to her when she was on her way back from work. She used to work at a school, and it was like quite dark at that point. And this was a man who was foreign born, and it took 2 years to get him deported. And she had to like run for her life in that situation. She was so scared, and it turned out that he had done it to other girls as well.
Right, so genuine yeah. threats.
I mean, in Aberdeen, in my home, I would walk around at night. In Aberdeen, I would walk around the park at night because I like look. I would walk around graveyards at night and so on. But the two places I felt really
I feel like that's very very Morrissey of you.
I'll meet you at the cemetery grates. But the two places that I felt unsafe to like walk around is Memphis, Tennessee. I lived there for yeah. That's that for obvious reasons. I mean, you would get robbed outside of supermarkets in broad daylight there. It was that unsafe. And London. And it's not just because it's a big major city. It's because, you know, sometimes I don't even feel safe walking down the street in broad daylight because I think I'm going to get robbed. There's so many cases. Mm. I mean, it's not just women being assaulted. It's people being robbed in broad daylight, people being stabbed.
I mean, the sexual harassment aside, even when I was at university in Aberdeen, which was, what, 02 to 05, there was a park that went up to the Hillhead accommodation. Mm-hmm. And the big park, mm-hmm. Near the cathedral, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Even then, when Aberdeen was basically 95% white, girls would not cross that park alone at night. There's been a long, when I was a teenager, girls in a completely white area wouldn't walk home alone at night. It was just this thing you didn't do. Mm-hmm. So putting aside the harassment, I mean, isn't that just something we've always had, that you're going to get old men hanging around?
Obviously, again, it's not exclusive to foreign-born people, to foreign-born men. They're not the ones who are only committing these crimes.
When I can't find enough based knowledge to feed the inner workings of my mind, and I go onto Audible, and all I can find is warmed-up diarrhea by people like Adam Rutherford and Angela Saini, I sometimes don't know what to do. But that's why I use Legion.com. Legion.com gets the most based books, summarizes them into key salient points, and reads them to you in 25 enthralling minutes. Whether it's my own books or whether it's Who We Are and How We Got Here by David Reich, a fascinating book which allows us to understand in much more depth the evolution of man using archaeogenetics, taking old skeletons, analyzing the different alleles, and telling you exactly how we evolved. Whatever based book it is, Legion.com. is the one for me.
But when we talk about these issues, it's a very specific thing in the sense that the reason why this is happening is because we have imported a population of men who do not hold the same values we hold. I think growing up in West Orton on Bolton, where I grew up, young girls around the age of 12 to, you know, 12 onwards, they would walk around after night wearing very tight clothing, crop tops, and they wouldn't feel, you know, unsafe to do that. And I think the culture has just drastically changed because of that, because of, you know, the issue of mass immigration, because we've imported people from cultures where unless you're like completely covered up, they see you as, you know, an object. They see you as a target. They see you as somebody who does not deserve, you know, basic respect. And I think that's a massive issue.
Is it another issue? Is it that they're just less sexually continent. They're less able to control themselves. There would be some men in this room that would just be unable to control themselves. I wonder about that. If you live in a society where all women are covered up, it's like a sugar rush. It's a super women for you become a super normal stimuli. Mm. It's not something that you see. And one of the arguments about pornography and the problem with it is it's desensitizing us to what should be a stimulus, i.e. naked people of the opposite sex.
It's a very good point, because it's not just Islam, it's overwhelmingly Islamic countries that don't respect women. But if you look at India, it's not safe to walk out on the street as a woman in India. And it's also historic. It's not a recent thing. They had the suti system in India where they would throw widowed wives on their husband's cremating body.
Yeah, but that was just a reasonable way of avoiding moaning old women.
there was also, they would kill their female babies. These are cultures that just deeply don't respect women whatsoever. If you're born a woman, they see you as a curse on the family in certain parts of India. So it's no wonder that these cultures
they call it Eve teasing. Mm-hmm. And if you walk around in India as a woman, you expect to, and you're not chaperoned by a man or other women like a group. Mm-hmm. If you're on your own, they expect to be able to smack your bottom and grope you and whatever. It's called Eve teasing.
Mm, yes.
And it's really, and to the extent that they have to have women only carriages on trains. You can imagine, of course, if they had that here, you'd soon get men saying they were women and then being able to use the carriages.
Even outside of India, if you look at Afghanistan, it's not just women that are targeted in Afghanistan. They also go after little boys. There's been so many reports by soldiers of them seeing animals get raped as well by these warlord tribes. I think it has maybe everything to do with low impulse control.
I mean, yeah. I was reading, I don't know if this is true, it could be nonsense, but the in Pakistan there's a blind pink dolphin which they yeah, poor things. I don't know if that's true. It could be nonsense. So it's a serious problem. It's got to a turning point, it seems. What do you think are the confluence of factors that have given women, such as the ones that you mentioned, sufficient confidence to say, I don't care if people call me racist, bugger it. I'm going to stand up and talk about the fact that this is, you keep saying foreign born. Even that is a euphemism. It is foreign born, non-white. Mm. And non-Oriental as well. It's foreign-born, South Asian, and Middle Eastern, and black men, presumably. That is the issue. What do you think has given a lot of these women finally, like maybe even yourselves, the confidence to just say, I don't care if you call me a racist, bollocks?
Yeah, I think the tide has definitely turned. Look at the recent local elections, the reform victories with that. I think people are just generally fed up. I think with women in particular, we're very emotional, and I know that can be deemed as a bit sexist, but I think it's true. We are led by, I think, consensus, and we are led by, you know, you have this idea of Ben Shapiro's, you know, facts don't care about your feelings. I think women have more of a feeling-based approach. You know, that's why in majority of, like, social justice scenes, it is mostly like the triggered feminist with purple hair. But I think there's actually a positive too, caring about feelings, caring about emotions, on which when you have situations like the grooming gangs, when you have situations where it's young girls consistently being harassed by men not from this country, it is hard to look the other way, and it's hard not to realise this is an issue. And I think a lot of women who, you know, are genuine, who actually care about the truth, they understand that you can't ignore this for any longer, because it is such a big issue, and otherwise we're not going to, you know, it's just going to continue, and then they have to think about their grandchildren, their children, their sisters, and if they want to stop them from getting abused like they are and getting harassed like they are going to have to speak out against this.
I think it's simple. I think this is the number one women's issue. When I think about the suffragettes, and I think about what the suffragettes did in order, you know, to protest about women not having the vote, they would put bombs in letterboxes, they would chain themselves to fences and so on. Imagine if the suffragettes were around today, having to witness women now being are being raped on a mass scale across the country by immigrants that their own government has let into this country. I don't think women have in the modern century have been so oppressed like they are today. This is the number one women's issue of history, I believe.
One of the things that occurs to me is that, in a sense, I think I said this. No, you weren't on there, but I said. But when it was the transsexual ruling, and I had a group of girls, I had Nina Power on, Connie Shaw, and Amy Gallagher, and one of the points I argued is, well, you kind of brought this on yourselves. We have these women, and once women get into positions of power, then women tend to put emotion and everyone getting along and social harmony and feelings and not wanting to upset people above truth.
Are you ready for the future of the West?